Rob McLaughlin on City Talk 105.9.
We haven't gone into a black hole, but maybe somebody is about to. Because in 6 days' time, he will roll into the Northwest for a conference which could seal his fate as Prime Minister. But as Gordon Brown redrafts what is believed to be a Churchillian-style speech of no surrender, opposition with his own party is going public. A junior whip was sacked on Friday, and the party's vice chairman, Joan Ryan, was sacked yesterday after calling for a challenge to the Prime Minister. Four more, though the number seems to be increasing by the hour, including George Howarth in Knowsley, have called for nomination papers to be issued by the Labour Party so that signatures can be gathered for a full-blown leadership contest, which under the rules would need more than 70 MPs to support. But do these divisions simply mean Labour is heading for civil war, or will the PM easily dismiss and win over the party at his conference in Manchester, which starts next Saturday? Well, joining me live on the line is one of his fiercest critics, who's writing in today's Mail on Sunday. He is the Member of Parliament for Manchester Blakely, Graeme Stringer. Graeme, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. In one sense, I have to say, you must be making David Cameron very happy, Graeme.
Well, I think the whole of the Labour Party is making David Cameron very, very happy at the moment, because we're not clear on the policies that we're pursuing. Individual members of the government are either privately or publicly criticising each other. The Prime Minister and the Chancellor aren't. They're not only not speaking off the same sheets, they're not speaking the same language or out of the same book at the moment. And I think what I've been saying for some time is that the Labour Party needs to resolve its policy issues around a leadership election. There is nothing new from my point of view in that analysis.
You do need, as I said, you probably need something in the region of over 70, 71 MPs to sign the form which would lead to a leadership election. Are you anywhere near that number?
I've no idea how many people will sign, and I'm not convinced that that is the process or the mechanism that will bring about a leadership election. When I sent off my letter to the General Secretary to ask him why he wasn't complying with the rules and sending out the forms, it wasn't intended to start this process. It was a simple request. But I think what has happened is that the debate that has been going on in private within the Parliamentary Labour Party about whether there should be a challenge to Gordon, if there is a challenge, when that should happen, has gone public.
So when you say you don't think this will be the process, what you are saying
is... I'm not certain that it will be the process. I think what is inevitable, though, given the strength of feeling in the Parliamentary Labour Party, is that eventually there will be a leadership challenge, and that would be better sooner rather than later.
And do you think that the classic grey men in suits will go visiting the Prime Minister and we ask him to leave? Is that what you're hoping will happen as a result of all of these people going public?
There are three or four scenarios, aren't there? The one that Gordon realises that he's not doing the job that he wanted to do, and that he stands down, and then there is a vacancy. Secondly, there is the men in grey suits, or thirdly, there is a number of signatures from cabinet ministers, ministers, backbench MPs that also persuade him. But I've no doubt from private conversations that there are a large number of Labour members of Parliament who believe that there should be a leadership challenge. Where the disagreement is not whether there should be or not, is over the timing. A considerable number of my colleagues believe there should be a challenge, but not until next year.
Well, if you did have a challenge and you did have a new leader, just follow this scenario through, aren't you almost obliged to go straight to the country for a general election? In other words, your leader is not going to have time, your new leader is not going to have time to be embedded in.
The strongest proponent of that non-constitutional idea, of course, is Cameron, who's very happy.
Graeme, it may be the voters. It may be the voters strongest.
Just let me finish. It may be, although there is no real evidence of that. I think that there is no constitutional reason for having a general election after a new leader.
But what about a moral obligation?
Well, the morality comes from the rules we play by. I think that if there was a leadership election, the candidates would have to give an indication as to whether or not they thought there should be an immediate general election or one in six or 12 months. But you can see why the Conservatives are pursuing that line of argument. It's because they would do not want a new leader to get in to change some of the policies that, that aren't connecting with the electorate and establish him or herself as a personality that they knew.
Well, Graham, let me bring it...
That would be to put the Labour Party at a massive disadvantage for no constitutional reason whatsoever. At general elections, each MP is elected, and the person with the largest support in the House of Commons is asked by the Queen to become the Prime Minister. That's the clear constitutional position.
Well, let me bring in two of our guests here. We've got Andy Downey and Will Waldron in the studio, both barristers. Andy Downey, you want to...
Where do your constituents in Knowsley stand?
Manchester, Blakely.
Blakely, I'm sorry. Anyway, Blakely stand in this, because it seems to me that at a time of very difficult circumstances for many people, there are far too many MPs talking about who should be the Prime Minister rather than getting on with what should be done to assist the many people in this country in their difficulties. And it would appear to me, in addition, that the Labour Party is frankly gathering as much ammunition as they can at the moment and shooting themselves in the foot.
Well, let me bring in Graham Singer to answer that. Graham.
Well, I don't find any difficulty talking to my electorate about the position I've taken, as you know, for some time on this issue. My guess is, although I don't know, that they're agreeing with me. But in those constituencies where the electorate has been tested in Crewe and Glasgow, and in Boris Johnson's constituency, they're making it clear what they think of the Labour Party's policies at the moment, and they're not voting for us. Now, we can either sit back and say everything will be all right on the night, we'll carry on doing as we want to do, or we can listen to the electorate in each of those constituencies who are saying that they want different policies and probably around a different personality as leader. So I think it's being responsive to the electorate by calling for a leadership election. On the final point, I think that's right. Split parties don't win elections, and having this debate, there's no doubt about it, is a recognition of different views in the Parliamentary Labour Party.
Well,
they aren't going to disappear. They're only going to be resolved if there is an election that we should have had 12 months ago, and we didn't then.
But, Graham, I think 2 weeks ago on this programme, your near neighbour and old colleague, Sir Richard Lees, the leader of Manchester City Council, actually said that he wishes Graham Stringer would shut up, that he wishes Graham Stringer would stop being, I quote, a renter quote.
She doesn't agree with me. That's up to Richard. I've never given quotes about things I don't know about. This has been my view for some time, and it's my job to reflect what I think the views of my constituents are.
And who would you want to be the new leader of the Labour Party, the new Prime Minister, you into an election?
I think we have something to learn from the process, and I hate saying this, but the process that the Conservatives went through when they chose a new leader. Cameron certainly wasn't the favourite. He did better both in persuading the members of his party, but more importantly, in communicating and persuading the public that he was the right person. And we've not, in the Labour Party, it's now 14 years since we've had a leadership election, and the tough competition that you would have to go through would help determine who was the best candidate.
But nevertheless, I mean, you're writing in today's Mail on Sunday, the front page says Lancashire Mafia spring hit on Brown. It's implying that you've seen the paper, no doubt. It's implying here that there is a move and an orchestrated move. You must, Graham, have somebody in mind who you think should be the leader.
Well, you say I must, but I don't.
Really? You expect us to believe that?
Well, I'm telling you the truth. I mean, I do not have one candidate. In yesterday's Times, there was a really interesting message meter test which put the obvious candidates, Johnson, Miliband, Purnell, Cruddas, put their speeches in front of people with these buttons to press whether they approved or didn't approve of them. Now, it's only a tiny, tiny test, that. But I was amazed that Crudders and Purnell came out better than Miliband and Johnson and Brown, for that matter. So I think the competition does matter, and I want the person to lead the Labour Party who is most likely to reconnect with the electorate, both as a personality and to change the policies that would reconnect with the electorate.
Finally, Graeme, I think there was one poll last week which did put a whole host of names forward.
Those polls aren't fair. They compare people who are barely in the public's consciousness with the Prime Minister, who is in everybody's front living room on their television every day.
Well, it did come to the conclusion that the only man who could possibly reduce David Cameron's lead in the polls was, in fact, Tony Blair.
Yeah, well, that's why it's absurd. It's because you're really measuring the names that are known, and that, to go back to your very first question about whether there should be an immediate general election, that is why the Conservatives would want an immediate general election, because they wouldn't want somebody to establish themselves. Because most people, I mean, I know, obviously, the members of the Cabinet, if you go into down the average high street and ask people to name three members of the Cabinet, most people couldn't, and that's sad, but it is true. So you have to give people time to establish themselves, and you can't put any value on those polls that say no new Cabinet member who became Prime Minister would do better than Brown, because people simply don't know them.
Graeme, final question, and difficult to ask you this in 30 seconds, but what is going to happen in Manchester the week after next when the Labour Party meets, and what do you think is going to happen next with Gordon Brown, briefly?
I don't know. I told a journalist on Friday who phoned me up and said, what's happening? And I said, oh, it's going to be a very quiet conference. I was completely wrong. And since then, the papers have gone mad. My phone's gone mad. I think it's very difficult to predict what will happen. All I can say is the prediction I made 48 hours ago was completely wrong.
Will he be Prime Minister at Christmas?
I don't know, but the only one prediction I would make is that sooner or later that there will be a leadership challenge.
Waking you up on Sunday, Rob McLaughlin, City Talk 105.9.